D-Mace Vingen and Donick 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We hope you had a wonderful weekend. We have a fun show planned for y'all today. Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter will join us at 3:40. We will dive into NFL Wild Card Weekend, which provided us with plenty of drama. The Predators split their back-to-back set at home over the weekend. But first, we begin on the Titans head coaching search. The Titans announced Saturday that they have conducted interviews with 7 candidates: Lou Anarumo, Steve Spagnuolo, Matt Nagy, Vance Joseph, Kevin Stefanski, Mike McCoy, and Jason Garrett. And then there is John Harbaugh. It was just announced, maybe within the past hour or so, that John Harbaugh has interviewed with the Atlanta Falcons. That is his first official interview. But there were multiple reports over the weekend that connected the Titans to John Harbaugh in some manner. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated posted on Saturday, quote, "On John Harbaugh, no interviews this weekend. He'll start this coming week. Sources say 6 teams reached out right away. Miami made it 7 last night. He won't interview with them all, so I'd see the realistic landing spots as of now as the Giants, Dolphins, Titans, and Falcons." Diana Russini of The Athletic, also on Saturday, posted this, quote, "John Harbaugh is spending today and the next few days watching film specifically on quarterbacks Jackson Dart and Cam Ward. He's also been in contact with team decision makers while continuing to communicate with potential members of his own coaching staff." Now, there has been additional reporting that the Giants and Falcons, in some order, appear to be the front runners for Harbaugh's services, with the Titans maybe third on his list. So although the Titans may not be in the lead, they could be in the mix. So here's how we're going to start. Derek, what would it say about the Titans if John Harbaugh, who is being selective in this process, grants the Titans an interview? Would it be a stamp of approval of sorts?
Considering who the coach is, yeah, because there are several jobs out there outside of, you know, the Titans, Atlanta, and the Giants. And he's choosing, after, you know, doing his own homework, because that's what he's doing and that's what he has been doing, at least that's what's coming out. You know, he's doing his homework on these teams to see even if he wants to go and visit them. And if it stays true, then if he does come here for an interview with the Titans, I think it is something that would be a good thing. I don't think he would go somewhere where he didn't feel he could win. He didn't feel that the quarterback situation wasn't stable or there was a lot of potential. Now, whether he chooses the Titans or not, he's going to go somewhere where he believes there's a quarterback, period. So whether it's here or the Giants, just because he chose here doesn't mean he didn't think that Jackson Dart wasn't the guy or vice versa. But I think he's at a point in his career where, you know, you want to go in and either choose your own quarterback or have a quarterback already that you believe either is established or has the potential to be an elite quarterback or a franchise quarterback. So if he comes in here if he decides that, you know, this is one of the destinations, then I think that's a good thing.
Willie, same question. What would it say about the Titans if John Harbaugh decides to grant them an interview? Because this is what it feels like, right? Harbaugh has his choice. Everybody wants a piece of John Harbaugh. But if John Harbaugh, in whittling down the list, decides that the Titans deserve an interview, what would that say about them?
Not a whole lot. I do think if he grants them an interview, he must at least think that Cam Ward has a chance to be very good, which I think that would resonate with me. My question would be, what's real interest, right? Is an interview interest? He is so sought after. I want to know if the Titans are in the ballpark financially and really want this to happen. And B, is there real interest on Harbaugh? Or is he just kind of playing the field and saying, okay, let's get my 3. But if the Titans are third on the list of 3 or 4, then is that really where you want to be?
There was a report that came out last week out of Cleveland about what John Harbaugh's job requirements would be if he is to take your job. And they reportedly include, and by the way, this report has been refuted by other reporters, one, $20 million per year, which would make him, if I'm not mistaken, tied with Andy Reid for the highest paid coach in the NFL, $10 million staff budget, total authority over the roster, and he would like to select his own GM. That was out of Cleveland. Again, there have been other reporters who have refuted that report, saying that John Harbaugh does not have that list of demands. But again, the initial report, $20 million per year, $10 million staff budget, total authority over the roster, would like to select his own GM. You find this humorous, Derek?
Yeah, I do. How quickly things are put out there. Like, is it to sort of steer him away from, you know, or steer other teams away from him, hoping that, you know, you will be the team that he ultimately chooses because the other don't think you are, you know, serious about really coming to them because of these demands. Listen, if I'm going to Cleveland, hell yeah, I want all of that. If I was going to Cleveland
specifically.
Exactly.
Okay.
Cleveland specifically. I would want all of that. Why? Because they've been a bad organization for a very, very, very long time. So if I'm taking a Cleveland job, you damn right I want to pick my GM and I want to pick my coaching staff, because whoever was doing it before didn't get it right. So why would I step into a situation where they hadn't gotten it right over 20 years and I'm supposed to, you know, perpetuate this, you know, coming here, spending 3 years and then getting fired because I have no control? No, I'm going to Cleveland. You give me control. Now, if you're talking about some other places, then okay. I look at this from this standpoint. Look at the situation, at least with the Titans. He would only, if indeed that happened, he would only ask that of someone or an organization that he really wasn't going to, if indeed that was the case.
As his way to say, yeah, I'm not really interested, but I can be interested if you meet my demands.
Exactly. But I think that
organization. Or you set the demand so high that you know somebody wouldn't realistically give you that power.
So it's like,
just and that gets them to say, well, let's go in another direction.
Exactly. So if you're looking at the Titans, he's probably looking at their structure, and this is why it was crucial. Even though, it's probably was set in motion already, but it was critical for them to put it out in print so everybody can see it. So, you know, they can have a press conference, because they want to make sure that the new head coach that's coming in, he understands the dynamics. So if Harbaugh looks at this, he may be looking at it in a favorable light now. Now that they have solidified position, sort of speak.
And to Willie's point, which we also discussed last week, if you want John Harbaugh, you're gonna have to pay up. Brian Callahan, reportedly made roughly $3 million per year. You're not getting John Harbaugh for $3 million per year. You are going to have to make him one of the highest paid coaches in the NFL, which he already was with the Baltimore Ravens. I believe he was making $17 million per year. But there's been an interesting debate on social media about the total control of the roster element of this, especially with the Titans going out of their way a week and a half ago to say, we are making it clear that Mike Borgonzi is in charge of the roster. He's in charge of the coaching search. And there's been this debate about, well, John Harbaugh, he may not have had control over the roster in Baltimore, but he's put in the work 18 years in Baltimore. If a team really wants him, they are going to have to give up control of the roster. And Willie, it's led to an interesting debate among Titans fans on social media.
All right, so let me throw a question back at you guys. Let's say Harbaugh says, I'll take it if you give me control of the roster, et cetera. What does Mike Borgonzi say? Like, what does Amy Adams say?
Man, that's a tough one, because you've already come out.
I mean, he's got a lot of leverage,
yeah,
right?
But you've already come out and said that the GM is responsible for the players. But now you backtrack and say, well,
now that we have Harbaugh.
Yeah, now that still to me, that shows no stability. If you're going to give me responsibility and then take it back because someone else comes in, you can fire me next year because you just don't like, maybe you like what he's doing more. You may want to replace me now. So to me, that shows a lack of loyalty. an instability, at least on my part.
And one thing that John Harbaugh knows, as you also know, Derek, having been a member of the Baltimore Ravens organization, is that organization is synonymous with stability, right?
Exactly.
So, look, John Harbaugh, with the teams at his disposal, I guess you could say, I don't pretend to know everything about the Arizona Cardinals. Honestly, I don't know how many people actually know anything about the Arizona Cardinals. I only pay attention to the Cardinals when I have to. Sorry, Cardinals fans, if you're listening. But that is an element that intrigues me a little bit. How much? I mean, he could ask for roster control. John Harbaugh is well within his rights to say, you know what? I've put in my work. I want full roster control, even if he's never really had roster control. I assume he did not have any roster control in Baltimore.
I'm sure he had a say to a certain extent, but
and there's a difference between the coach being able to say to the GM, you know, I like this player over this player, versus this is my team and I'm picking all of the players.
No, I don't. That wasn't like that.
And I don't think it would be a great look on the Titans, Willie, if a week and a half after putting out a statement from the owner saying, Mike Borgonzi, you're in charge. Never mind. John Harbaugh's in charge now.
Are we a little surprised, if it's true, this report or whatever, that Harbaugh wants that much control? Is that the desire of him? I mean, he just got fired a couple weeks ago.
I couldn't see him. Listen, again, I couldn't see him wanting that much control because he's, from my knowledge, didn't have that in Baltimore. So I couldn't all of a sudden see him, unless you're going to Cleveland. That's a different story. But outside of Cleveland, I couldn't see him wanting that as like, that's a part of, if I come, that will be the reason or a part of why I come. But then again, you never know. Maybe he was just tired of that structure in Baltimore and wanted a little bit more say.
Because I think he has the leverage. He has the leverage to ask for a lot of control. And if that's what you want to do, you can probably wield that leverage and get a job. But is it the best setup to do it that way? I can certainly see from afar him saying, hey, look, I've watched the Titans pretty closely over the years. I've seen a lot of people get fired. The Adams family has a certain reputation. Yeah, I know there's a new stadium, et cetera, but I would think he would want to protect himself, right, just from afar with the wild card factor.
Adam Schefter reports about 20, 30 minutes ago, while the Falcons announced an official interview with former Ravens head coach John Harbaugh, he already has been conducting preliminary and extensive phone calls with the Giants, Titans, Browns, Raiders, and Cardinals per sources. He is trying to determine who to meet with later this week and into next week before making a decision. He is fully expected to coach in 2026.
So the theory, which I think is a good one, of sitting out a year, which I think is probably good for, I think a lot of coaches would probably say it was good to sit out a year somewhere in there, but apparently he's not doing that.
I guess once you're in it, you're in it.
I did think of you, Derek, this weekend when I saw the viral photo of, of course, I'm always thinking of you, Derek, but I especially thought of you when I saw the viral photo of Mike McDaniel on the carousel at Disney World in the Gucci fit. First of all, a little on the nose with the coach on the actual carousel, but he was dressed to the nines for a trip to Disney World.
I don't want any part of that young man.
He's interviewing with the Titans.
At least not as a head coach. I just don't. They had their run, and when things wasn't going well, it imploded. That tells you the locker room wasn't good in the first place. That's what that tells you. You just don't all of a sudden implode. There, things go on that you just sort of let kind of slide because you're winning or it's tolerable. But then when you start losing, it's kind of like during 2-a-days. You know, the first couple of days, I let you lean on me a little bit. But then after that fifth, sixth day when it's hot out there, man, get off of me. I ain't letting that happen no more. It's the same here.
Let's go to Bob on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Bob, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Yeah, talking about Harbaugh. I'm going to say it before anybody else says it just for fun. If we somehow get Harbaugh, how can we get Henry back too?
Thank you for the call, Bob.
Henry just re-upped his deal for another 2 years, but then again, you never know. They may release him, but that would be foolish of them.
Yes. I am wondering who the Ravens are going to hire. I don't have the list of interviewees in front of me. I believe Cliff Kingsbury interviewed for the job.
You know what? I'm thinking about this because, you know, John did a great job. And I said this when we first start talking about, you know, sort of like the pros and the cons. He did a masterful job at adapting to the quarterbacks that he had, whether it was Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco was mobile, but Joe Flacco was big arm, throw it down the field, you know, sort of like more of a Ben Roethlisberger type of a quarterback. So he was able to do it and win a championship that way. Defense played great. Joe had a historic run in the playoffs. But then in 18, they had to switch to Lamar Jackson, a guy that was just coming into his own, a guy that was a dual-threat quarterback, and you are able to win with that type of quarterback. Now, listen, he's one of the best passers in the NFL right now, meaning Lamar Jackson. So he was able to mature in the offense that you sort of surrounded him with, or you catered the offense to your talent. I'm wondering what type of quarterback is he looking for now?
It's great. It's a really good question.
You know,
I mean, he has to, you know, you could do like your Weird Science movie where you make the perfect quarterback in
exactly.
the lab or something, but that's not reality, right? That's why I think it was an interesting story to me that he was watching the film on the quarterbacks mm-hmm. to try to get a better feel of, okay, if I went here, what am I getting? So you have to work. I don't think there'll ever be somebody quite like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And there's probably, you know, more that are close to what Joe Flacco is, at least prototypically. But I wonder what he thinks of the various quarterbacks out there, like Dart versus Ward or something like that.
Because Ward is not Jackson.
Not even close.
Yeah. Ward Very would different. Be more so like Joe Flacco.
I think he's closer to Flacco than
he is
Jackson.
Jackson. Yes, yeah. He's closer to Flacco. But then you look at Jackson Dart has the body of Joe Flacco, but he can run, but he's reckless in running. So do you want that type of quarterback? So like you said, it's not going to be perfect, but which one do you want to lean more toward? Do you want the more athletic, big, physical quarterback, or do you want the guy that, you know, he can run, he's developing into a really good passer, but he doesn't fit the mold that you just came from, like running, you know, options with the quarterback and setting up plays to run with the quarterback. Cam's not that type of guy.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It appears that the Titans could be on John Harbaugh's short list. What would it say about the Titans if John Harbaugh grants them an interview? Because look, it's going to be him granting them an interview, not the other way around. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction and continue the conversation. Coming up next, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
The question is, what does he want? What does he want?
Just knowing what I know about John?
Sure.
I'd say alignment. I think that's really important to him.
Meaning what? What does that mean?
Meaning, like, what he experienced in Baltimore mm-hmm. and what Ozzie Newsome set up for him mm-hmm. and what he had in an owner in Steve Bisciotti. And we've both been around Steve, right? Like, I think Steve's a pretty good guy to work for. Like, he has standards. You know, he has an idea of the way he wants his program to be.
Mm-hmm.
But he also is going to let everybody do their jobs, you know? Like, he's not an overlord at all, you know? Like, so, like, I think, you know, the like having some level of certainty in ownership is going to be important to him.
I said, baby, you should know.
That was Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated on the Rich Eisen show. Breer says John Harbaugh wants alignment, a word that has not been associated with the Tennessee Titans
no,
for quite some time. So that is something that Harbaugh is going to have to weigh as he decides which teams to interview. He has interviewed with the Atlanta Falcons. More interviews to come, but multiple reports say that Harbaugh is going to be selective. on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, Ben in Cumberland City says, I feel like everyone's giving Harbaugh way too much credit. It's been Baltimore and Pittsburgh for years in that division. Look at Harbaugh's early to mid-tenure Bengals. Weren't a threat. They went 30 years without a playoff win. Cleveland's been Cleveland. There's been a lot of mediocre years, barely winning the North. Consistency doesn't always mean greatness. I'm not saying he's mid, but I don't get the hype that all these teams are just going to give everything for him to come.
I disagree. I think somebody is going to give him the whole ball, whatever he wants.
The whole enchilada.
Yeah, he's gonna. I think he'll be the highest paid coach, and I would say that he will be very satisfied with his, you know, with the Albert Breer part of it, the alignment, and whatever say he's got. It's going to be something he's going to get everything he wants.
Yeah, it just depends on what he wants and which team he wants it from. Like I said, it may be different in Cleveland than it is, you know, somewhere else. Or it may be different in what he would want here in Nashville than anything else. But I think the key word was alignment. That alignment doesn't necessarily mean that he has to have control. He just needs to know the chain of command, you know, and that everybody's on the same page. And that when he walks in here, that he has a vision. And hopefully that vision matches what the Titans are thinking and allow him to push forward that vision and that all of y'all are on the same page. That's what made Baltimore or Pittsburgh so good for so long. And even the Giants at one point, obviously New England and Kansas City. But when everyone is together and everyone follows the vision, because ultimately it's the coach's vision, and it's up to the GM and whoever else to make sure he has the right players for that vision, and y'all are in line with that vision. So if he wants alignment, then, you know, we understand why the Titans did what they did, because they want to make sure that when a guy comes in here, he understands the alignment and the chain of command.
Jonathan Jones of CBS reported, I think this was yesterday, quote, two sources on interested teams said their belief is Harbaugh's top choices among the vacant jobs are the New York Giants and Atlanta Falcons. In some order, those sources added the Tennessee Titans are in third place, while a third different source said there is real and mutual interest between Harbaugh and the Cleveland Browns. Reports of Harbaugh's demands are inaccurate. According to a source with knowledge, Harbaugh will command a high salary based simply off his resume and some level of roster say is inherent in attracting a coach of that caliber, but a demand of $20 million in salary and full roster control are not required to land Harbaugh's services. So he has interviewed with the Atlanta Falcons. And I'm thinking of the differences between Atlanta and Tennessee. And the Falcons do have some attractive young pieces. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, among others. The quarterback question, though, Michael Penix is coming back from an ACL tear, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And from what I saw of him, at least the numbers suggest that he wasn't very good. So I'm wondering what Harbaugh could see in Atlanta that maybe he doesn't see in Tennessee.
I think one thing we have to be aware of that he probably is looking at, we talk about the alignment, but when you think of the Atlanta Falcons, what do you think of? Arthur Blank.
And the new president of football, mm-hmm. Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan.
The president of football.
But Arthur Blank.
The assistant to the traveling secretary.
Now, that was funny. I'm like, what does that person do? But Arthur Blank is thought highly throughout the circles. And I'm not saying that, you know, people don't think highly of Amy. I'm sure they do. But the way this franchise to the outside world has functioned for at least 10, 15 years, it was dysfunctional in their minds. You look at Atlanta and you see stability with Arthur Blank and someone that you may like in those circles that people truly respect. So you look at that as well. How is the owner, how much is the owner really going to meddle in what we're doing?
That's a good question. I thought of it this way. Adam, if you could choose better quarterback but less stable ownership, or you like the quarterback, or questions at quarterback, but the stability and ownership that you're looking for, what's the better long-term play? If you, especially for specifically Harbaugh. Like if you're a young first-time coach, you probably would take the quarterback. But if you're Harbaugh and you're like, they're not going to fire me after a bad year or two, this team's already down, I'm going to have a few years here, would you take the stability and figure I'll find the quarterback?
I think that's a good point. I think the veteran coaches probably feel that way versus the first-year head coaches. One texter says, don't forget, the Falcons play in the NFC South, which is a dumpster fire. That's a plus two. Indeed, the NFC South.
It is now. These things run in cycles, yes. But traditionally, that has not been a strong division.
They are cyclical.
Yeah, yes. I like it.
So,
like when they had Brady in there and Breeze was still going,
yes.
Right? In the Bucs, like that wasn't a soft division at that point.
No, not at all. Let's take a quick look at the candidates who have indeed interviewed for the job. Seven of them. Lou Anarumo, Steve Spagnuolo, Matt Nagy, Vance Joseph, Kevin Stefanski, Mike McCoy. Good for Mike McCoy to get an interview. And Jason Garrett. And I heard Jason Garrett, I don't know if it was before the game, halftime, I don't know. But on the NBC Sunday Night Football broadcast, he's a part of that. And he was asked about his interview with the Tennessee Titans. And he said all of the things that you would expect someone to say who interviewed for a job with the Titans. They've got a nice young quarterback in Cam Ward and a game wrecker in Jeffrey Simmons and a lot of cap space. And they play in Nashville and they've got a new stadium. Jason Garrett said all of those things. I could have played it for you, but I basically summarized it for you. But any of those candidates intrigue you at all now that they have been confirmed as interviews? The silence is deafening.
Yeah, you know, I'm not hung up on Harbaugh. I'm not saying go for Harbaugh, put all your eggs in that basket. I would go down and take the swing. I would be measured, and I would want to measure his interest. Do you really want this job? If you want it, we want you. If you're just kind of throwing us in there with three or four other teams, I got to make sure I keep my options open here. So for me to tell you who the best candidates are here, I'm still curious about Saleh, who they got a win yesterday, mm-hmm. So he's going to be, you got to wait it out if you're going to get into him, right?
Yeah, you're going to have to. I mean, listen, all these coaches have their warts, some more warts than the others. Some, you know, the warts are old and you just don't want to deal with it. They've sort of passed their, you know, prime in a sense. Even Harbaugh, you know, I gave his cons. So it depends on one. In Harbaugh's case, does he see this as being a good fit for him? And I think for the Titans, if indeed that's the case, are they willing to pay the money it's going to take? We're not even talking about, you know, possible structure and what he may want as far as his ability to have a say, more of a say in the players. But the first thing, are you willing to pay him that much? You know?
I would hope that if they're at this point, the answer is yes.
Yeah,
otherwise,
you would think
what are you doing?
Yeah,
you're trying
you
to fool
think
people?
It's yes.
Think, like, oh, you really want this?
But
you just
again,
want to be able to say, we tried for Harbaugh, and he should. Like, if you're not willing to get into that game, it's like the car salesman, Dr. Locke. Why would I show somebody a really nice sports car if I know their price range isn't in that range?
Because it's just like, you don't just know if their price.
It?
You don't know if their price,
well, you can
they're
find
in that
out,
price
right?
range.
But eventually, you're going to have to
doesn't.
Know.
Yeah, but I'm saying you get them in. And you hope that you can talk long enough and well enough and more and convincing enough that whatever that number is, it started to dwindle down just a tad bit. That's all you hope for, because you're selling your organization. And in selling your organization, that means your the coaches, and I know Borgonzi said we got good people. I understand that. You do. But those players, that roster, you got to sell him that roster. That's what you got to sell him on. And is does he believe that that roster is good enough to win in the next 2 to 3 years? Well, at least two before they get into that next stadium. If he believes they are, then you are closer to him picking that job than not.
One texter says, Willie, if you have a great quarterback, no one cares about the owner because generally with a great quarterback, you're winning.
That's fair. But do you know that the quarterback's right? I don't think he would inherit a quarterback who was already great. It's a quarterback you think is going to be great is probably the better way for me to phrase it. I think if you knew it was a great quarterback, it would be hard to
pass it up.
Pass it up.
But if you were ranking those three quarterbacks, because Diana Russini's report, Ward and Jackson Dart, John Harbaugh was reviewing
film. And
then
film. Throw Penix into
the equation. I would put Penix third out of three, wouldn't you?
Yeah, because
of the injuries, like, and he's older.
And
as
we've
well.
Seen a lot of Penix. We've seen more of Penix than we have Jackson Dart, at least. How many games have Penix played? Has Penix played? Because I don't think he played a full season, did he?
No, he didn't start.
Michael Penix started 9 games this past season for the Falcons. He started 3 games the previous
season.
So
he hasn't even played more games than Cam Ward.
12 career starts, 14 career appearances.
And he has, because I think Jackson Dart missed some games because of injury.
And Michael Penix, by the way, will be 26 when next season begins.
So he's a little older. He hasn't been super effective. And I think we would say that Penix has had a better supporting cast than either Ward or Dart this past year.
Yeah, I would say that.
Especially when you take Malik Nabers away from Dart. Dart played a lot of games without the best wide receiver that they have.
Quickly, let's go to Adam in Portland. Adam, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Adam. Let me ask you, though, like, just to play devil's advocate. And D-Mace, don't get offended.
No, go ahead.
Why do I have to love John Harbaugh? Why do I have to love Nagy? Like, we couldn't score, but neither could Kansas City. And Baltimore had a lot of weapons, dude, and they couldn't score either. So, like, why is it all of a sudden he's the hype train, man? Like, I'm seeing the same problems in those cities that we had. Except I know they could win when they got a lot of talent. It's the same thing with Kansas City. But when you don't have it, you struggle. And we don't have a lot of talent here. So why do I have to be sold on these dudes when they have not done more with less?
Thank you, Adam. Quickly, Derek, a response?
No, he doesn't have to be, you know, sold on Harbaugh. I'm not offended by it at all. But when I look at the resume, when I look at, you know, the production and the development of the players, he does check the boxes on a lot of things. I was a part of the culture that he was a part of building. So I know that it works. So, there is a bias on my end, but listen, I'm up front and straight about everybody we talk about. If I didn't think he was a good coach, I wouldn't be screaming for him to come here. I wouldn't.
615-737-1025. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us coming up next. We'll get the latest on the Titans coaching search from TD. That's coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome our friend Teron Davenport, who is fueled by Parman Energy. You can visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. So, Teron, the Titans have announced that they have officially interviewed 7 candidates, more to come. But which of the 7 candidates who have interviewed with the Titans intrigues you the most, and why?
Well, I think it's pretty simple. The one that intrigues me the most is Jason Garrett. And when I say intrigue, I'm not saying he's the best option. It's just intriguing to me. And I talked about this last week, you know, given his ties that he has to North Turner to Don Coryell via North Turner. And I think when you look at that vertical passing scheme and you mix that with a run-heavy play-action offense, I think that's ideal for Cam Ward. We saw that in the last 4 or 5 games. So to me, that's the most intriguing. As far as the best option, that's probably a different conversation, but I'm curious how that matchup could work. And then you have the whole mystery of him having not been in the league for a little bit. I still think coaching is like riding a bike. You know, you're not going to forget how to do it. And it would be interesting to see that one.
So would you consider Garrett to be a legitimate candidate? I know that he received
Absolutely.
An interview. Okay. So he,
yes.
Okay. Just wondering, because I think like a lot of people, when we saw that last week, we were all like, huh, Jason Garrett? Because it's been a minute, as you said, since he's been a head coach. I know he had some time as the Giants offensive coordinator after his stint with the Cowboys. Mike McDaniel is reportedly scheduled to interview with the Titans this week. He orchestrated one hell of an offense early in his Dolphins tenure. But I wonder about his ability to command a locker room, and that appears to be important to Mike Borgonzi. What are the pros and cons of McDaniel as Titans head coach?
Well, you said it right there. I do wonder about his ability to command the locker room, like that quirky type of approach and just personality. I don't know that will connect with, like, imagine him trying to tell Jeffrey Simmons what to do. Like, I don't know that would really work out well. But, hey, look, I put nothing past anyone. I think they should be able to find a common ground and a way to make it work. But he's just not one of the first candidates. I would suggest from that perspective that you just mentioned, but you talk about the play calling and that side of things. Yeah, it's definitely tremendous what he was able to do. But you also got to remember, like, he assembled a track team. You know what I mean? They had Tyreek Hill. They had, you know, Jerry Jeudy. They had Jalen Waddle. You know, you got Devin A. Shane, who was stupid fast. Like, they had a bunch of guys, a lot of speed at the various positions. The Titans obviously don't have that. So how would he be able to make it work with those guys would be interesting. But, I mean, that's why he's one of the candidates. They would trust him to be able to do it.
Now, TD, you mentioned Jason Garrett and, you know, his lineage, so to speak, and how some of that can possibly, you know, fit into what Cam does underneath center, play action, stuff like that. How do you think he, when you start to look at these other coaches, whether it's Stefanski, John Harbaugh, and we talked about Harbaugh extensively, how he was able to change, you know, based upon his two quarterbacks that they had was totally diametrically opposed to one another in style of play. But what do you think these coaches – or in particular, Harbaugh is looking for in a quarterback, because it could be something totally different than what Cam is?
Yeah, I think what these coaches are looking for is a guy with a lot of promise. I would say that. But also, I think they want a guy that could be an extension of them, right? A guy that could lead the room, a guy that will be balanced, a guy that is Cam Ward. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, Cam alone makes the Titans' job very intriguing to me if I was a candidate. So you do have that.
Now, let's switch over to, you know, the draft, obviously, because them picking a coach, then the draft comes. What do you, in regards to the position, do you think they first go to wide receiver or do you think they go elsewhere? Because if you're bringing in a new coach and it's about the quarterback, then wouldn't you want to get more weapons for that quarterback?
I think you would want to get more weapons, but you also got to look at the board horizontally. And when I say that, I say you got to look at, okay, how is the – well, I mean, at four, they may get their pick at the best pass rusher or best receiver. And then you look at, okay, where does Carnell Tate rank in conjunction with Arvell Reese? Right. Or, you know, where does David Bailey rank in comparison to Jordan Tyson? I think those are the things you look at. But you also got to look at the history and the way certain positions are made up. And if you look at the pass rush situation, typically your best pass rushers are first round draft picks. Now, I mean, yeah, you could say that about almost every other position. But I think when you look at the pass rushers, I mean, outside of Trey Hendrickson, Max Crosby, I mean, there aren't a lot of guys that you get outside of the first round that are tremendously impactful. Yeah, you could get an Alex Highsmith or something like that. But, I mean, you look for the most part, all of the top pass rushers, those guys are first-round picks. And when you're talking about a top-four pick, you know, a top-five pick, I think you need a guy that can have an instant impact. And to me, one of the biggest ways to immediately change things is to get a game-changing pass rusher. But then you compare that to a receiver. Like, I mean, look, you're an example, right? You weren't a first-round pick, but you're a Hall of Famer, in my mind. You know what I mean? Deservingly Hall of Famer. So it's like, well, there are options, and you look across the league, there are plenty of receivers and weapons that you could get outside of the first round. So to me, that positional value, I think there's a little bit of a tax that gets added to a pass rusher, kind of like how it's added to a quarterback.
Speaking of that tax, Teron, what is your feel for the board right now, knowing that there's still a lot of time for this to change? But I was thinking about this while we were watching Mendoza for Indiana. He had a great game. The team dominated. He didn't have to be great, but he looked razor sharp. He made some really nice throws. Assuming he's moving up the board quick, could you see multiple quarterbacks getting to the top of the draft where that would only increase the Titans' options at number four, knowing they're not going to pick a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, look, Mendoza, he's probably going to be the first player taken. He's the best quarterback in the draft. So, and we just talked about the tax there. I'm curious, Dante Moore, if he comes out, you know, even though he had a tremendously bad pick six on the first throw of the game, you see the corner outside leverage. You know he's running an outbreaking route. How in the world are you going to throw that behind him? I don't know, but whatever. You want him to come out. You want him to be a guy because I think he will push your Arvell Reese's. And don't forget about Texas Tech's David Bailey. You know, he'll push some of those guys, and obviously Reuben Bain. He'll push some of those guys down to you, Carnell Tate, Jordan Tyson, et cetera. So you want that to happen. I could see if Moore comes out, there being two quarterbacks getting selected, before the Titans are up to pick.
Now, I asked you this last week, and you just reiterated it with Derek, your belief of what the best fit is for Cam Ward, the play action, the strong running game to complement his skill set. Do you have a sense, based on who you've talked to, that that is the ideal path for Mike Borgonzi, what he's looking for in the next
yes.
coach? Somebody that matches
yes.
that.
Yes, that is the path. I think they saw how this team, even though they were bad, right, they created an identity. And it was interesting talking to Peter Skoronski, you know, after that Jaguars game. He was like, I think we may have an identity here, and that's running the football and then working play action off of it. And ideally, you want to make things as quarterback-friendly as possible. And Cam Ward has said it multiple times. Even Mike McCoy said it. They want to have play action. They like the way that helps the quarterback. It opens things up. And I think we've seen this movie before, right? And you'll probably see a little bit of it tonight with Arthur Smith orchestrating the Steelers offense. You know, when Arthur Smith was here, they were running the football, play action. And Ryan Tannehill was playing as well as any quarterback in the league, literally. And so that was all obviously because of his ability, but also the scheme and the way things were set up. It was opening things up for him tremendously, and that's what they want to do for Ward.
If that's the case, I'm curious about what they want to do at tailback. We know Tony Pollard is steady, solid, but if you could imagine a younger, better, more dynamic tailback, that would help Cam Ward tenfold. So what do you think's out there at tailback?
Yeah, you know, I don't think you know that you need a younger, more dynamic tailback when you have that combo of Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. But from a cost perspective, you have to ask yourself, okay, is Tony Pollard giving you $9 million in a running back worth of investment? And that's the question that you have to have. But if you look at some of the younger guys, I mean, Breece Hall, Jake Lyman had mentioned that 3 weeks ago, right, on his show on TD Thursdays on Next Man Up. And I think that's a great option right there because he's not going to be expensive. Now, you do have the injury stuff, so that's something to look at. Or how about a Kenneth Walker, right, if he somehow shakes free from the Seahawks tree? You know, that's another one. And then, look, the draft is chock full of running backs. A guy that I think would be pretty efficient, you know, for them is Rasul Faison, who you probably get him late day three out of South Carolina. You know, that's another one.
Teron, let's go back to Harbaugh because he's the guy that once he signs or picks his spot, the dominoes will probably start falling from there.
Yeah.
What do you think's realistic for the Titans and Harbaugh when you hear that he could be third? He's got some interest. He's interested here, and the Titans seem to be on the radar, but not at the very top.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the mix, and you have to wonder if that's one of those situations where, remember how, like, teams used to use our Mets, like, for collateral damage. Like, hey, man, you know,
drive the price up.
The Mets are interested, and it drives the price up. You know, I wonder if that's the situation with the Titans. This is like another team is out there that, and it's no coincidence that it came out that, you know, he's doing his research on Cam Ward and likes the $100 million and all that stuff that they have to spend in free agency, et cetera, et cetera. So. It's hard to tell if it's really serious or not. You know what I mean? My gut tells me it's the Giants, but I mean, we'll see. And they said if it's the Giants, then Stefanski goes to the Falcons or vice versa. And I mean, those are the top two jobs available right now. And I think, you know, those are the top two options. Me personally, I would not want Stefanski as my coach because I just don't like that he allowed personal things to get in the way of the overarching goal, which is to win. And that's just my take on that. You know, when you look at the Shedeur Sanders situation, you look at the idiocracy, like how stupid it was to take your quarterback that's cooking, take him off the field when it's time to do a 2-point conversion to win the game.
Teron, before we let you go, I want to ask you the same question I asked Willie and Derek to start the show with all of this rumored interest with John Harbaugh. What should it say? What would it say about the Titans if Harbaugh grants them an interview based on the roster, the structure in the front office? Would you consider it a sort of stamp of approval if Harbaugh grants the Titans an interview, even if he doesn't take the job or want the job?
Yeah, I think it would be a stamp of approval, and it would tell you that Mike Borgonzi is for real. I personally think he is for real regardless, but I think, you know, being able to sell this situation with this team not being one of the premier teams in the league, right? It not being a premier job, but you land at the top candidate. I think that really says a lot, or even just interest from the top candidate, you know, an interview.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, has been our guest on D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Monday, and he is fueled by Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. TD, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
615-737-1025. We will get into Wild Card Weekend, the wildest card weekend. Some fantastic games in the NFL over the weekend. But you know what? I've got a giveaway. So that's what we're going to do right now. If you want a pair of tickets to see Belmont men's basketball take on Valpo at the Curb Event Center tomorrow night, be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. A pair of tickets to see Belmont's men's basketball take on Valpo can be yours for the game tomorrow night at the Curb Event Center if you're caller number 3. 615-737-1025. Tip-off of that game, by the way, is at 6:30. So call now. Preds fans, Smashville Live returns Wednesday night at 6 p.m. on 102.5 The Game, live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Meet your Predators players up close and personal. You can also get autographs and pictures. The guests will be Ozzie Weisblatt and Reed Schaefer. That's Ozzie Weisblatt and Reed Schaefer this Wednesday night at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, and only on 102.5 The Game.